the Lord. We've had a little bit of a technical difficulty with our online, and Facebook keeps changing things up. So we brought the camera out here on the stage, and we had folks chiming in. Why ain't you online? Get online. Let's get online. Amen. Revelation chapter number 22 this morning. And we want to read two verses. We're going to start in verse number 17. I want to read verse 17. And then I want to read to you verse number 20. I woke up Thursday morning, and these verses were on my mind. About 4 o'clock Thursday morning, my eyes flew open, and the Lord brought these verses to my mind. And I just couldn't get them off my mind. And I said, well, no doubt what the Lord wants me to preach on. And so I want to always follow the Lord. Look at verse 17. And the Bible said there in verse number 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now look at verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you'd help us and bless us as only you can. Father, we need you today. Lord, I can't preach without you. Never have been able to figure out how to preach without you. I want you to show up, Lord, help us. God, I pray that you do that today. I pray, Lord, if there'd be one lost, Lord, would you help them to understand the seriousness of their condition today? Lord, I pray, God, for the saved that are here. Lord, would you encourage our hearts tonight, today, knowing, Lord, that you're soon coming. Bless us and help us as only you can. Touch us and be pleased in thy sight. We'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want us to look this morning at these two verses. Of course, this is the last chapter and the last few verses of the book of Revelation. And as we look at these verses, we begin to get a glimpse into the very heart of John. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He's seen in the glory. And as he is brought back to this world to write this book, the last thought on his mind was, even so, come Lord Jesus. You know what John said? John said, I've done seen enough of heaven that I don't care to see no more of this world. Amen. And I say to you this morning, friend, the more that I see of this world, the more I long for heaven. The more I see of this old sin-cursed world, the more I have a desire to be in that world. And I can cry with John this morning, even so, come Lord Jesus. So I'm going to preach a little while this morning on come Lord, come. Come Lord Jesus. Now, let me say, normally in a message on the second coming, right here is the place in my outline where I would insert all kinds of world events. Right here's normally where I would tie things back to Scripture and try to convince you that Jesus is coming soon. But what I'm saying to you this morning is I don't have any of that in my outline today because there ain't no need. All I'm saying to you this morning is turn on the news, amen. Look at the newspaper. I scroll through the internet. It'd take a complete moron not to know that something's fixing to happen. Can I say this to you this morning? Even lost people think something's happening. I talk to lost people. I mean lost the ball in high grass. And they're like, boy, 2020, something's happening. What is it that's going on? What is next? Everybody that's got any sense in our day and age can realize that this world is travailing. It's moaning, it's crying for its creator. And let me say this to you this morning, church. the next event on God's prophetical calendar is the rapture of the church. The church ain't going down. The church is going up. Hey, we're getting out of here. It's the next event. Now, let me give you a few things about that coming, and then we're going to go in verse 17. I'm going to pick out a few things this morning as the Lord's directed our heart. But let's just talk about the Lord's coming as a whole. Let me say to you this morning that our Lord's coming is going to be a sudden coming. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Paul said that the coming of the Lord is going to be in the twinkling of an eye. It's a sudden coming. And I think folks sometimes think, well, I'm going to watch current events, and just right before it's time for the Lord to come, I'll get my life right. Let me say, if you've been waiting for that, honey, we're here. If that has been your idea, then we've arrived. We are there. We're at that place where all the things have come together. And when the Lord steps out on the cloud to call His church home, my friend, it won't take 5 minutes. It won't take 5 seconds. It's going to be instant, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be a sudden coming. There'll be no time to get right. There'll be no time to realize what's happening. My friend, 1 second the church is going to be here, and the next second the church is going to be gone. You say, preacher, do you believe that? You mark me down. Amen. I believe it. I know it's going to happen. It's going to happen suddenly, my friend, in the twinkling of an eye. Gone. Just like that. If I had it, and I meant to try and put this together, and I forgot yesterday evening. But if I saw a preacher one time, he took a bunch of little old discs, and he put them out across the altar. And what those plastic discs? But what some people didn't realize that is in the center of them plastic discs, some of them had a little piece of metal. And then he took a magnet and he went over the top of the altar, and then with the metal in it, just went whoop. And then when it was all plastic, they just laid there. And he said, that's what the rapture of the church is going to be like. Amen. 1 second, we're all here together. And the next second, some of us that have been saved, washed the blood. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Gone, 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 gone. My friend, when the Lord said, come up hither, the Holy Ghost is going out of this world, thank God. And I'm going with it. And it's going to be sudden. Very, very sudden. So the Lord's coming is going to be sudden. Let me say this to you. The Lord's coming, there's not only the suddenness of His coming, but then there's the similarity in His coming. What do you mean? Well, the Bible said in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 11, when the Lord left out of this world, the Bible said, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad it's the same Jesus. He said this same Jesus was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Well, Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel, the Son of God, and the dead Christ shall rise first. I'm going to tell you this, the way the Lord went, He went out in the clouds. Brother Neely's coming back in the clouds. He's going to call His church home. It is the rapture of the church. Graves are going to burst open. And we that are alive and remain, we're going to be translated in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. We're going to go up out of here to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to happen suddenly, and it's going to be similar to the way that He went out of here. But let me say this. His coming is going to be selective. It's going to be selective. What do you mean, preacher? Well, the Bible said that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So when He comes, He's not taking everybody. That's where I'm going to get to preach this morning. Not everybody's going. You say, well, I go to Sunday school. He ain't taking Sunday school roll. Well, I'm a member of the church. He ain't going to check church roll. He gonna come, and when he comes, calls church home, there's some going, and there's some going to stay here. It's selected. It's selected. They're going to be two men out in the field. One's going to be taking the other left. There's going to be two on the housetop. One's going to be taking the other left. It's going to be selected. And the way that God's going to do the selecting is not by who's been good and who's been bad. Thank God for that. I don't know about you, but I've been bad. I've been bad. So it's not going to be between who's good and who's bad. But see what he said, come up hither. The Holy Ghost is going to go out of here. And those that he indwells that were saved and washed by the blood, and those that have the Holy Ghost abiding inside of them, they're going out of here too. And it's going to be selective. He's not going to miss one, Brother Marvin. He's not going to say, whoops, I didn't mean to get that one, or whoops, I left that and I should have gotten it. Oh, no. The Holy Ghost is inside each and every one that's been born again, truly saved. See, that religion don't count at that point. Somebody say, man, religion ain't going to count at that point. Sunday school attendance is not going to count. Church attendance is not going to count. Talking the Bible's not going to count. Being a preacher is not going to count. Being a Sunday school teacher is not going to count. All things going to matter is, do you have the Holy Ghost of God dwelling inside of you? Because it's going to take a Holy Ghost to get out of here, friend. We gone. Now, I'll sleep verse 17. I'm preaching this morning on come, Lord, come. Come. Oh, I don't know about you. I'm so tired of this world. I want to say this. I'm tired of my flesh. I look in the mirror and I'm like old Paul, old wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. When that coming happens, Brother Neil, this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. We're going to be made like him. I'm going to get out of all of these, all of these things that's been bothering me and troubling me. I'm going to be set. Somebody give me a witness. I'm going to be separated from all of that. Now watch this, verse 17. Look what he said. He says there in verse number 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. I want us to notice an invitation. There's an invitation. Who is it that does the invite? Well, we're going to look down through here. There is an invitation. Can I say to you this morning that everyone in this building has an invitation to be a part of the rapture of the church? The Lord has looked at every one of you and said, come. Come. Oh, I got to thinking about that word, come. It's the grandest word in all the gospel. Oh my, it first rang out in the days of Noah. God said to Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. And God's invitation to mankind from Genesis to Revelation has been come. 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 Somebody said, I've been bad. The Lord said, just come. Somebody said, I'm not worthy. The Lord said, come on anyhow. Hey, somebody said, oh boy, I've messed up. The Lord said, be all right, I forgive you. Come on, come on, come on. That's his cry in these last days as time's running out. I believe God is sending forth the church, true preachers, and they're crying out, come, come, come. Don't risk it. Don't die and go to hell. It is the announcement of the church. It is the invitation of God. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, 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 come. Now the Spirit says, come. That's that Holy Spirit of God, the present in each of the believers. You know, and he's just, in these last days, he's putting out the invitation. Yeah. Through his conviction power, he's saying, come. Yeah. A few years ago, being Brother Rudy Smith stood in the back of the church. He'd preached down here at camp meeting, and after the meeting, he said, take me up, I want to see a new church. And I brought him up here, and we toured around, and we got to talking about the youth meeting. And we started talking about some of the things that happened. He got to telling me about that revival that he had with Brother Mark Stroud. And here's what he said. He said it just broke out. Said we didn't do nothing, didn't advertise it. And he said there would be people that'd be driving up the interstate, and we'd be having church, and they'd not know anything about it. Said they'd be driving up the interstate, and they'd drive by our church and fall under conviction. He said one Sunday, he said one Tuesday night after the service, he said I walked out and looked outside and said the median on the road was full of cars. And said I got to inquiring from them people why they had parked in the median, why they hadn't come up on the church property. And they said, preacher, we can't explain it. We's just driving by and we drove into something that we couldn't drive out of. Amen. Said we looked up on the hill and there was that church and it was full of cars and the parking lot was full. And God was saying, come. God was saying, boy, we just pulled our cars over in the median, hopped the state fence, run up in the parking lot. Hey, man, got saved by the grace of God. You know what it is? It's the Spirit saying, come, come, come. I believe in these last days, as terrible as they are and as hard as they are, I believe there's one wonderful aspect of it, and I believe that it's that the Holy Spirit is doing all that He can to say, come, 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 come on, go to heaven, come on, know the Lord, come on and get ready. That's the invitation of the Spirit. Let me say this, not only the Spirit's inviting, but the church is inviting. That's the job of the church. Oh, we get caught up in a lot of other things, don't we? Well, we got to do this ministry and that ministry, and all of that's got its place. But there hadn't ought to be a single ministry of the Concord Baptist Church that does not have the aim of winning lost people to Christ. That's what the church does. The church is just saying, come. Come on. Amen. Come on and be saved. Don't have to die and go to that side. That's the church's mission. That's what the church has put on the earth today. Oh, we're saying come. That's what the bride says. The bride says come on. The bride says it's a good day to be saved. The bride says now's the accepted time. Oh my goodness. Oh boy, my heart was thrilled this week. I got thinking about this across this land. We can point out all that's wrong with America and we can come up with a big list. But across this land this morning, up in the hollers and in the valleys of this land, there's still churches that are dotting the roadsides of America where there's God called men of God standing in a pulpit today. And what are they saying? Come, come, come. I say, thank God for it. Hey, that is the invitation of the church. Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. But this very unusual thing happens right here. Look at this right here. He said in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Then watch this. And let him that heareth say, come. Albert Barnes said this. He said, whoever hears the gospel, let him go and invite others to come. Nothing could be more strikingly set forth of the freeness of the invitation of the gospel than the fact that anybody can extend the invitation. Watch this. You don't have to be a preacher to say come. But did you know, according to that verse, you don't even have to be saved to say come. He said, if you hear, say come. One unrepentant sinner can tell another unrepentant sinner about the saving grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that unrepentant sinner can get saved, even if this unrepentant sinner never has met Christ Himself. It is the greatness of the gospel. God has made it that easy. It'd be one thing if God said, only my preachers can spread the word. But no, He said the whole church can. But then that'd be one thing to say, well, the whole church can, but that's it. But no,
He said, I want people to know about it so much that I'm going to let anybody that's heard, that hears about it tell others. He said, he that heareth saith, come. Oh, my goodness. Hey, he said, listen, I want everybody to know about my invitation so even the unrepentant sinner can tell of the mercy of God that others might be saved. Oh, it sounds to me like God wants you to get saved. It almost seems to me like God don't want nobody to go to hell. It almost seems to me like that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Watch this. We see the invitation. I'm about to run and shout. Look here. There is the inclination. The Bible said there in verse number 17, let him that is athirst come. I read a story yesterday about a man traveling across the desert. And they said that him and his companions, they had made this plan to cross the desert, and they'd taken what water they could, but the problem was there was no way that they could carry enough water to get across the whole desert. But they had a plan. On a map, in a little cut in the middle of that desert, was a place that was supposed to have water. And so they had exhausted their water supply. It got to the place, it's a long story, but it got to the place where they would just lay all day and bake in the sun. They couldn't walk. And occasionally wet their lips with a little bit of water they had, and then when it get dusk dark, they'd move and try to walk as much as they could. And finally one day they had used up all their water. And it seemed like the sun was literally drawing the blood out of them. They didn't feel like they could live. They felt like this, and they got to the place where they thought that well was supposed to be, and they had found no water, and they'd almost given up. They had with them a little black fellow that was indigenous to that country. And as they were walking along, just a death march, they're about to fall out. The little black fellow goes, I smell water. They said, you smell water. He said, oh, yes. And there was a little crest of a hill there, and he said, I believe just on the other side of the hill is water. They said, we didn't know if we could believe him or not, but it was the only hope that we'd had in days. They said, we found strength that we could never have thought we'd ever have found. And we ran across that hill. And sure enough, there in the desert, Brother Neil, was an oasis. And they laid down on their bellies and lapped it up and drank of that water. How you say, preacher, what do you mean? They were thirsty. They had a desire. They were dry. They had a need for water. And the only thing that would satisfy was a good, cool drink of water. Let me say this to you this morning. We live in a dry world. Oh, it's dry. But I tell you, it's tough. I'm going to tell you, the only thing it'll do is a good, cool drink of water from the throne of God. Boy, God has a way of making sinners so thirsty. They'll try to feel it. Listen, through their own desires, through drugs and alcohol, but none of those will do. They'll try to feel it, but they just find themselves defiled. Try to turn over a new leaf. Try to do better. I swear, this time I'm going to do right. Then they get right back into the mess they were in. The problem is they're thirsty, and nothing will fill that thirst except a good cold drink of water from the throne of God. And that comes through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I see so many people's thirsty. I see so many people's thirsty. They want something. You think about all this crowd right now. That's right. And we can say a lot about that. But really what it boils down to it, the bottom line is they're thirsty. That's thirsty. They think what'll cure their thirst is if they could somehow have equality, somehow make things fair. If they could do something and feel like they've been treated a different way, they think that'd cure their thirst. But they're still going to be thirsty. There's so many folks in the political world, they're thirsty. And they think if their candidate could win, they'd just fill their thirst. They think if they could do this, or if they could have this accolade, if they could have this award, that'd fill their thirst. But they get that, and then they find out they're still thirsty. People are working themselves to death. They think if they could have a bank account with this number on it. They think if they could have a vehicle that was real nice. If they could have clothes or a certain house on a hill, that they'd fill their thirst. They're just thirsty for it. But what they find out, Brother Neil, is they can accumulate the money. They can have the house. They can drive the car. And they're still thirsty.
Yes, sir.
There's only one well that'll satisfy. Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, whoever drinks this well shall thirst again. But he said, I can give you water that you'll never thirst. Amen. I was thinking about it this morning. We passed by the Laurel Branch Baptist Church. I was thinking about the day that I got saved. Amen. I used to say, preacher, you tell it all the time. I like for the devil to hear it. I was sitting about 3/4 of the way back on the left-hand side, and God came by and spoke to my heart. I'd tell you, I got a drink out of a well that morning, never had been thirsty again. Oh, yes, friend, never. Oh, God satisfied a longing within my soul. You know what the Bible said in the last days here? He said there's going to be some that are thirsty. He said, well, just come on, get you a drink. He's going to be those that are going to have a desire. He said, just come on and get it settled. He said, there are going to be those that are going to be looking for something to fill them up. And God's going to say, just come on, I'll fill you. Oh, man's thirst. There's an inclination. Let him that is thirst. Then I'll give you right here and I'm done. There is no stipulation. Look what he's saying. Let him that is a thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. You tell a Calvinist, I said, it's whosoever. Amen. It's whosoever. There is no stipulation on who can be a part of the bride. I'm about to shout. Can I say that it matters not what your race is? You know, there's a lot of folks, there's a lot of talk in America right now about race. Race relations, race relations, race relations. They're missing the one person who has never looked at race. It's the Lord. The Lord said, I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, white, blue, polka dot, come on. Amen. I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? There's no stipulation. It don't matter your race. It don't matter how much rebellion you've been in. It don't matter what religion you're part of. It don't matter how bad you've been ruined. How the Lord just said, come on anyhow. I'm glad the door is open to all. I'm glad the invitation is to man, woman, boy, and girl. I'm glad that whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. There's no stipulation. Now, John goes down through there. Here's the thought. He said, Spirit and the bride says, come. Let him his thirst come. Whosoever will come. So here's the thought. John said, I realize there's a lot of lost people, and they need to get saved. But then what he said in verse 20 is, he said, even so, Lord Jesus, come. He said, whether they get saved or not, come on, Lord. He said, I'm ready to get out of this world. And John's cry was, even so, come, Lord Jesus. One of these days is going to be over. I tell you, Brother Neil, I don't know where I'll be when the rapture takes place. If I got to pick, I'd love to lead the last one to Christ. I'd love to be in the altar and, amen, down and them pleading for the Lord to save them. And before they could even say amen, me and them and whoever else was getting saved, up and out of here. I'd love it. I'd love to be up preaching. I'd love being a cemetery. I'd love being a cemetery. Just for them split seconds, see them graves open, them people coming up out of there. Boy, that'd be thrilling. That'd be thrilling. But regardless of where I'm at, whether I'm awake or asleep, preaching, whatever, I'm gone. And I'm looking forward to it. I had a lady a few weeks ago tell me, she said, "What's happening in 2020 scaring me?" Exactly what she said. She used another word that she hadn't already used. She said, "Scaring the out of me." I thought, well, it'd be good for you if it would. She said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." She said, "Don't feel like I can go out." She said, "Seems like the country's falling apart and all that race and rights and all that." I said to her, "There's only one answer. Come, Lord Jesus." Listen, I am not disturbed. Not disturbed. While this, a lot of what happens, a lot of what's happened, it bothers me. I mean, it bothers anybody. It bothers me. It does not disturb me. It doesn't move me. You know why? Because I knew it was coming. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Shall come. I knew there's going to be a bunch of people out of church when the Lord came, because Paul said that there'd be a great falling away. And we're there, see. We're there. Now there's one last invitation. And that is the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let me say this. It's the last invitation. And those that won't come, watch this. The Lord's got something to say to you. And that's depart. All of these years during the church age, the invitation has been come. But to the great white throne of judgment, it's not going to be come. It's going to be depart. 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 I've been praying. I've been praying, "God, save somebody in this service." I have. I've been praying. I said, "God, I wish you'd show somebody if they're lost in this service, that today would be their day to be saved. I'm glad baptized here in this minute. Got three to baptize. I sure would like to have some more to baptize." I'm going to say something to you. I told you last Sunday. If you was here last Sunday, I told you last Sunday. I'll tell you again this Sunday. Times are running out. Even so, the church is moaning and travailing. The church is saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." But this planet is saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." There's going to be a day when he's going to step out. He's going to call church home in rapture. You're going to be left behind. You know what's going to happen? 7 years of tribulation, you're going to live through it. Listen to me right here. You say, "I'll get saved during tribulation." No, you won't. I don't believe there'll be a single person in the Bible Belt that'll endure to the end. I don't believe there's not one. You say, "Preacher, how can you say that? If you endure to the end of the tribulation, you'll be saved." Yeah, but you're missing a big part of the Scripture. The Bible said that God's going to send a strong delusion. They just believe a lie and be damned. And that's what's going to happen. If you wouldn't get saved, when all it took was getting out of your pew and walking down the front of a church and believing on Christ and being saved, if you wouldn't get saved like that, you'll not get saved and you have to endure to the end. You mark it down. You mark it down. You'll not get saved that way. I wonder this morning, I'm getting ready to give an altar call. I wonder this morning who I'm preaching to. I wonder if it's somebody that comes to church here. Been coming a while. You're sitting back there and you say, "Boy, I never have been saved. I'm going to fool around and miss rapture." I wonder if I'm preaching to somebody like that. I wonder if I'm preaching to some young people. Come in here this morning. Sit down, just come because your buddies is here. And now the Lord's speaking to your heart and said, "You're going to miss the rapture. You're going to miss the rapture." Or if I'm speaking to some older folks. You've prayed a long time, made like a long time. But this morning the Lord has said to you, "You're going to miss the rapture. You're going to fool around and be left behind. You ought to be saved." I wonder who I'm preaching to. I wonder who I'm preaching to. Here's the thing, folks. All you got to do, miss out on all that. Get rid of all that feeling in your heart, all that disturbs, all those things. All you got to do is put faith in Christ. All you got to do is move out of your seat. Grab somebody next to you. Say, I want to come pray. Get in this altar and make it right with God. You might be the last one. You might be the last one. But I said, people look down on me. Pride sending more people to hell than anything else. People say, well, somebody look down on me if I go. No, they won't. They'll rejoice, and they'll rejoice in heaven. If you'll come, let's stand our feet. Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us to preach this morning. Lord, we know today that you're soon coming.